You're listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to space for everyday women to go from surviving to thriving by pursuing a purpose that's truly rooted in faith. And now, we're also becoming the premier space for Christian coaches and therapists to finally learn how to integrate faith into their practice without being churchy or limiting their audience. Each week, we'll merge biblical wisdom with practical everyday application so that you can be empowered to excel in every facet of your life and business. Are you ready? Let's get started. Hey friend, today we are going to be talking about what it takes to change your mind, the strategies that are necessary for you to change your mind so you can change your life. First, if you're new here, I'm Dr. Charlotte Walker. I am your Bible study bestie, a Bible nerd, a neurotheologist, which simply means that I love to study how the Word of God transforms our mind from both a biblical perspective first and also from a perspective of science. I am a doctor of nursing practice. So I have my DNP and I specialize in pediatrics and currently about 6 months away from also specializing or being dual certified in psychiatry. So I'm really excited to dive into this because as I've studied the science behind it, which is just the study of God's creation, which it's top tier. Okay. I found a lot of information that I really believe is critical when we talk about learning how to change our minds so we can change our lives. A lot of things that we seek to do, we're so ready to get to the result that we don't read the instruction manual, i.e. the Bible, that we don't understand the roles and the functions of something. And so I don't know how we're going to be in control of something or change something that we don't know all the inner workings of. How are you going to properly utilize your phone if you don't understand all the features and everything that God has placed in it? Or the phone manufacturer, but I'm talking about your brain, that God has placed in it. And so a lot of times, and what you will get here when we talk about mental health, mindset, therapeutic interventions, there's a three-step approach that you have to take. And this isn't even part of my lesson, but I think that I need to share with you anyway. Think of your brain, I heard it said this way, think of your brain as a computer, right? Your brain is the computer. That's the hardware. So when you're talking about changing your mind and changing your life, you have to start there. If there is a physical issue going on with your brain, which is the organ of your mind, right? We have to address that. Then you have your mind. And with the mind, I'm talking about your will, your emotions, your ability to have cognition. Now, when you study it biblically, the heart and the mind are two separate components of the same, let's call it organ, right? The same function that God has given us. So you have hardware, that's your brain, software, your mind. So if I have my computer, the hardware, if the computer isn't plugged in, if your brain isn't doing what she's supposed to be doing, because there's some kind of injury, because it's not being provided the right nutrition, because there's some underlying physiological issue, then you're going to have a tough time. If the right software, if the right operating system is not on your computer, it's not going to work. That means changing your mind, your will, your emotions. And if you're trying to get online, if you're trying to be connected to do the things, if you are not on God's network, okay, if you're not wired into the proper networking system, you're going to struggle. You're going to be disconnected. So you have to take care of your hardware, which is your physical brain. You have to deal with your software, which is your mind, which we're going to talk about some today. And then the network issue, which is being connected to the Father properly. Okay, this is how we have to look at changing our mind. Our mind isn't just about your morality. And a lot of times there are things that we've made a morality issue. And so now you're so busy beating yourself up that you're not able to really understand what needs to be dealt with so you can experience the freedom of joy that God is giving you. So you can be empowered to do what God has called you to do. And so my prayer here and my goal here, not just in this video, but on this channel, is to help you mitigate some of that. So today we're specifically talking about why you have to start with your mind, right? Like why, if you want your life to change, it starts here. And as I said before, your mind, when I'm talking about it now, is about your will, your emotions, all of that. So think of it as your heart and mind biblically. So that's why the Bible says guard your heart above all else, because your heart influences your mind. They're two parts of the same organ. So think about how your heart has chambers and ventricles, right? They all matter, but it's one organ. So your heart and your mind are all a part of your ability to make decisions and your ability to take control of your life. Okay? With the help of the Holy Spirit. So I want us first to understand three different concepts. First, it's really important that you understand cognition, behavior, and repentance. So if you have ever done therapy in your life, one of the main types of therapy or modalities of therapy that people use and are pretty familiar with is called cognitive behavioral therapy. And cognitive behavioral therapy is a psychological approach, and it focuses on identifying and changing negative thought patterns that lead to destructive behaviors and emotions. And so it really focuses on and is built on the fact that your thoughts influence your feelings and your actions. So if you can create a cycle, or if you have created a cycle where you have destructive thoughts that lead to destructive behaviors or sabotaging behaviors, if we can interrupt that by doing what's called cognitive restructuring, which we'll talk about in a different video, if we can fix that, then we can fix your mind, right? So that cognitive behavior theory, it teaches us that our thoughts drive our emotions and those shape our actions. Okay? And so you have to be intentional about changing your mindset, intentional about practicing healthier behaviors. It's in the name. So we have to deal with your cognition in order for you to see changes in your behavior. And I can't remember the scripture off the top of my mind. I'll likely put it in the notes of this video, but there's a scripture in James that talks about how things start as your own desire. So things that are kicked up in your heart, and then those things continue to kind of be meditated on. And then from that, you have your sinful actions. And so you end up acting on these temptations. So again, that cognitive behavioral theory is in alignment with the word of God. That yes, your thoughts lead to your actions. And in order for us to change our minds so that way we can see a new life, we have to interfere with the cycle. You have to change the way that you think in order for your behavior to be changed. And what I love about this is that this is not anything new, right? There's nothing new under the sun. God already said this. That's why he said that in order for us to be transformed, that our minds have to be renewed in Romans 12 and 2. This is why we are called to repentance. Okay? The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and 7, as a man thinketh, so is he. Okay, you following me? That cognitive behavioral theory is in alignment with the word of God. God already told us that if you change your thoughts, your actions will change. How do we know? He's called us to repent. The first step for you to change your mind so you can change your life, the first step for you to develop a Christian growth mindset, is for you to repent. And I want to give you some definitions. So what is cognition? Cognition is the mental process of acquiring knowledge through thoughts, experiences and your senses. So this includes your perception, your reasoning, your memory, and your decision making. And these all shape how you interpret and respond to your environment. So this is why in Romans 12 and 2, Paul says that in order for us to see transformation, we have to have our minds renewed. So he's emphasizing the importance of renewing our cognition. He's emphasizing the importance of us transforming our will, emotion, and our cognition to submit to God's will. Okay, that renewal is going to give us discernment and it's going to influence our decisions in a different direction. Remember, cognition, behavior. So instead of CBT being cognitive behavioral therapy, I need you to see CBT as like cognition behavior transformation. Because in order for us to do this biblically, that means that we have to shift our cognition. You do that through repentance. And then our behaviors are the actions or reactions of a person. How many of us are reacting and not simply responding? Okay. Often in response to an external or internal stimuli. So behavior reflects both conscious and subconscious mental states and is often shaped by cognition, emotion, past experiences, linking internal thought patterns to outward expression. So that's why James said that having faith all by itself isn't enough, because faith without works is dead, because anything that I truly believe, there's going to be an outward expression of it. Genuine faith is demonstrated through your behavior. The Bible says that it's not enough for you to simply believe. Even the demons believe and tremble. Do your actions demonstrate what you believe? And so our behavior is an outward manifestation of what we believe. And so only the things that we truly value internally are going to be expressed by our actions. And then I want us to talk about this word repentance, because a lot of us get gagged here. I know you may want to click off at this point. Don't. I'm telling you, listen to me. Repentance is more than just you apologizing. When you look at the Greek word repentance, which is metanoia, it is a change of mind that leads to a change of action. It means to turn away from. So I have to change my mind on what it means to be lustful. I have to change my mind and have a different understanding of what it means to be prideful. I have to change my mind on what it means to have humility. Being humble doesn't mean that you are downplaying the gifts that God is giving you. By definition, being humble means that you are giving up your own self-governance to submit to the self-governance of God, to be in a lowly place. That willful giving up of my own ability to govern myself. That is true humility when you study it in the word. And so true repentance does not come without you acquiring knowledge from the word of God, without you understanding and really seeing what God has to say, because it's not just about God removing things from you, but he wants to deposit into you. Hey, yeah, the reason I said that it's not good to have sex outside of marriage is because I want you to have this covenant, because there's a lot of emotional and mental and psychological things that happen when you have sex outside of marriage. You're literally selling off pieces of your soul. That's dangerous. And that's why you feel empty inside. And so I need you to understand, although it may be challenging for you, I'm giving you my spirit so that way you can understand the proper perspective. And once you have proper perspective, once you've repented and changed your mind and you have acquired my perspective and developed the mind of Christ, just understanding where I'm coming from as a father, okay, in my word, it'll be a lot easier for you to submit. It'll be a lot easier for you to fall in line. It'll be a lot easier for you to change this area of your life. And so a lot of us simply just repent like, oh God, I'm sorry. But what are you sorry for? The Bible says that godly sorrow brings forth like conviction and change and repentance. So have I really asked God, like, how does this impact you when I do this? How does this impact me? How does this impact our relationship? A lot of us don't go and study the things that we struggle with. We often struggle to study the things that we desire from God. And there's nothing wrong with that in a biblical perspective, but we have to, if we really want to change our mind, we have to get in and find out what God has to say about gossip. We have to go in and find out why God talks about death and life being in the power of the tongue. But a lot of us don't have control over our tongue. As James talked about how the tongue is like really hard to tame and unbridled, is because a lot of us do not have control over our thoughts and our thinking. A lot of the dialogue that comes out of your mouth are things that you've already meditated on internally, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so in order for you to change your life, to change your language, to change the way that you interact with people, to change relationships, you have to start really repenting and turning from what you currently believe so you can develop a growth mindset that is in alignment with the word of God. We are kingdom citizens now. Once I get saved, I'm a kingdom citizen. So everything has to be up for debate. I have to be willing to submit everything that I think I know and make sure that it is truly submitted to the word of God in a way that is biblically exegeted, meaning that it's not simply what the pastor said, but that it's in context what the Lord said. In context, what the Lord said. Okay? That means you're going to have to study your Bible. And I want you to know that the prescription for purpose around here every time is going to lead to you studying your Bible. You have to be a disciple of Christ, meaning there's a level of discipline that's going to have to take place. Not discipline in like even simply order, but discipline in study. So if you want to develop this growth mindset, you have to be willing to address your cognition. What do I believe now? How is that influencing my behavior? And in what ways do I need to repent? What does God have to say about this? How do those things conflict? I need to reconcile those things. That's the first step. That's the first step. You have to do that in order to see transformation. And it's not something that you have to do all on your own, right? The Lord is so kind that He has given us Holy Spirit to minister to us. He's given us Holy Spirit so we can develop peace, love, patience, joy, kindness, self-control. We cannot do it without Him. And so I want to talk a little bit about, from the psychological standpoint, this idea of a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. People who have a growth mindset, they believe that you grow and can change through effort, through persistence, and through learning from shortcomings, right? If you have a fixed mindset, you avoid challenges, you avoid fear, you just think you know everything, and you don't believe that change is necessary. And then when you look at repentance, when you are repentant, you are aligning your mind, changing your mind, adopting these perspectives that God is giving you. When you are unrepentant, you are refusing to even acknowledge wrongdoing. You don't even know what God has to say on the matter. And so we see that it's hard for people who have a fixed mindset to change. They see challenges as threats. They are often discouraged. They're not really able to see the level of growth that they want to see. So the children of Israel, right, they had this unrepentant, fixed mindset. That's what kept them from getting to the promised land. It was available to them. They went over there. They had evidence that it existed. Their mindset was so fixed and so unrepentant that they were mad once they got into the wilderness because they didn't have a growth mindset. They did not see that the change was something that was good for them. They did not understand that the change in the wilderness was just preparation. And so they complained and said, we were better off as slaves. And a lot of us, when God calls us to really change our minds and change our lives, we get really clammed up and we kind of have that same mentality where we are so bogged down mentally right? Like you think you're better off as a slave and not a slave of Christ. I'm talking about a slave to your thoughts, your emotions, and what you believe. A slave to your circumstance. The children of Israel were a slave to their circumstance, so much so that we've condemned the wilderness season, but the wilderness is actually a great place to go. It's where you're going to learn God for yourself. It's where he cultivates you for new opportunity. That's why Jesus got baptized. God said he was well pleased with him and sent him to the wilderness. It is preparation for the next season, but it takes a perspective change. We have to repent and turn away from even our familiarity with some of the concepts in the word that aren't really what they've been presented. What you crying in the wilderness for? You should be excited, gathering all the lessons, gathering tea, so you can go out and be effective in your ministry. The wilderness prepared Jesus for ministry. So then you're praying and asking God for your purpose. He sends you into a wilderness season and you think that you've done something wrong because your mind is playing games. You haven't shifted your perspective. You don't see this as preparation. So you can pass the test, focus on passing the test. You can gather all the lessons. You can really understand and allow God to prune all the things that need to be pruned because pruning promotes growth. Go read John 15, verses 1 through 8, that the Father prunes even things that are fruitful so there can be more growth. And so a lot of these things that we have called and really given negative connotation to are really signs that our prayers are being answered, but we don't know that because of the way that we have positioned our thoughts and our behaviors. Okay? I need us to really let that sink in, that you have to have a growth mindset. Anytime you are in a place of struggle, the Bible talks about how we are to suffer just like Christ suffered and that we should really count it all joy. And then you'll find that your language changes in the midst of suffering. Your perspective changes. You're able to see things differently, and then you're able to discern the lesson that God is trying to give you, and things make sense. Even though it doesn't feel good practically, you know it's for your good. And the lesson that you learn is going to help you in the next season. And that's how your life is going to slowly change. So when we look at repentance and establishing a growth mindset, there is a foundation where you have to change, okay? You have to follow God.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
And align your mind with his truth. Not just the parts that you like. Just because you don't agree does not make it any less true. And a lot of us do not have that level of radical submission, radical obedience. And that's why you're not seeing the change in your mind or in your life. And it starts with you. It is a decision that you have to make cognitively. Repentance is going to reshape your thinking to match God's will. And then that growth mindset is going to help you build resilience. So when you are in a season of suffering, you're able to maintain the change. Humility, right? Giving up your ability to self-govern. Because even in your self-governance, you're still submitting to something. It's just not God. So whether you're submitting to your flesh, whether you're submitting to the enemy, everybody's submitting to something in your self-governance. As for me and my house, okay, I'm choosing the Lord. You're submitted to your feelings, whatever the case is. Repentance is you really changing your mind on a deep level. And then the growth mindset is going to give you the consistent practice to be able to perform those disciplines that are needed. Prayer, studying your word. If you notice that you come up on an issue, right? Let's say you go and you study the works of the flesh, and God's like, yeah, girl, the way you running after that money is giving lust. Because all lust isn't just sexual. When you study by definition what lust is, that selfish ambition, you're lustful of success. We're going to have to deal with that. Okay, what is lust? How is it detrimental? What people in the Bible have struggled with this? Once I understand the trick of the enemy, right? From that, once you understand that there's like, hey, this cookie looked good, but there's arsenic in it. You want to eat it. Once you understand, oh, there's arsenic in them cookies. I'm not eating that. I'm not that hungry. I will go hungry first before I do that. Once we start really looking at the temptations like that, because we've studied and we've allowed God to really just reveal to us the detriment of a lot of the things that we think we can't overcome, you will see change. And as you go through that, God is so good that even all of those parts, right? Your brain, your mindset, and your network, like you're going to be connected with him because we're seeking his word first. You're going to allow him to deal with your mind. And there may be times where God reveals like, hey, you need to get into therapy. There's a brain thing. Hey, you need to start getting more rest and doing things for your mind, like your brain, the physical organ. If you have a blood pressure issue, we are going to check your heart. So if you have a thinking issue, we need to make sure your brain is straight. So that means that you're kind to it. And God will reveal that to you as you go through this growth mindset. And so I'm going to leave you with three things that you need to address if you are wanting to change your mind and change your life. Okay? I call them the MVPs. Motives, values, and priorities. Now that you are saved, or you may have been saved for a while, the way that you are able to start this journey of repenting, changing your mind, and growing is that you are going to make room to reflect on your motives, your values, and your priorities. And I'm going to give you scripture so you understand, okay? So your motives are these internal drivers and desires that compel you to pursue specific goals or actions. And they provide an underlying reason for you to do the things. I am motivated by the call that God has given me on my life for me to be recording this video super late at nighttime. Okay? Because I'm so motivated because God has shown me what is on the other side of my obedience, not for me, but for people, that people need to understand not only does God care about our emotions, okay, Jesus and therapy, but that he created the emotions, he created the mind. So we go to him first. The psychological evidence-based practice, the evidence is stuff that God created. I don't know why we hate God and science together. He created it. There would be no science without his work. Catch that. Okay. And so when your motives are unclear or misaligned, you're going to experience mental fatigue and lack of focus. So psychologically, that leads to decision paralysis, aimless thoughts. And then as the brain lacks a central drive, there's no way for you to prioritize goals. So you just out here doing stuff. And you're constantly shifting your attention. And so you're sitting here blaming God for not making progress, but he's like, your motives, they're off. I'm gonna give you Bible, okay, as my pastor says. James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. So even when you pray, you don't receive because you pray with wrong motives. Another translation says it that way. Pure motives aligned with God's will is going to help you avoid unproductive pursuits. But a lot of us don't want to be real with God and be like, you know what, God, I am here for the money. I need my bills paid. He already knows. The Bible says that he searches the heart and tests the mind. So he knows. If we can be transparent with him, then he can help you. But a lot of us go to God, who's the great physician, and you want to hide your symptoms. And so then there's no transformation and you're blaming the Lord, but we have to be really vulnerable and intimate and be truthful with ourselves and with him. God, I really do. You know, I really am chasing the clout. I like to be admired. Help me. Right? What are your motives? A lot of times when we pray for things and we don't receive them, we want to blame the devil. We want to blame all these other entities. But what about your motives? Because the Bible says in James 4:3, that if you do pray and you're not receiving it, it's likely because your motives are off. Some of the stuff that you want is just outside of God's will for your life. I wasn't meant to be a WWE wrestler. 10-year-old me couldn't tell me nothing. But that's not God's will for my life. That's not the devil's fault. It just wasn't God's will for my life. And that's okay. Second is your values. So your values are deeply held beliefs that define what is important, what is meaningful, and what is worthy in life. And it acts as a moral compass that really guides your choices and your actions. So something that is a big value for me is integrity. Okay, say what you're gonna do and do what you say. Keep your word. Yes, there's room for grace and like, hey, I overcommitted. Yeah, but even in that, don't overcommit then. Be mindful before you accept stuff. And these are lessons that I've had to learn because I'm the queen of overcommitting. Follow through and do what you say. And some of us have things that we value, moral compasses that we go by that are not of the kingdom. Okay, shout out to Terry K. It's not of the kingdom. Okay? It's not of the kingdom. And you're a kingdom citizen now. So you now have to prune those values and replace them for values that are in alignment with the word, in alignment with the kingdom doctrine that you are now under. So your values, they shape your moral reasoning. They influence things that you're biased about, and they impact how you interpret information. And a lot of your values are tied to things, your emotions. So if you don't have clear values, or when your values and your actions conflict, your thoughts become fragmented, decision-making becomes stressful, and it leads to this thing called cognitive dissonance, where what you believe and what you're doing are two different things. So now you're in this constant inner turmoil. And so now there's mental strain, negative emotions, and there really is a reduced sense of personal integrity. Now you're beating yourself up. Now you're in this spiral. Matthew 6:21 tells us that wherever your treasure is, your heart will follow also. Treasure isn't just money. Things that I value, my heart's going to follow. I value family. My niece got a birthday coming up. Okay, one of my babies, she turned 10. And because I value family and I value celebrating my nieces and I value those things, I value being at TT. It's important to me. Guess what? She got today, them UGG boots she asked for, okay, came early because I value that. So even the way that we value things, value people, value relationships, your treasure, your heart is going to follow. The decisions, your behaviors are going to follow. So now we have to ask, do I really value God as much as I say I do? Because I value other relationships and I spend time with those people and I'm not really spending time in God's word. I'm not really spending time trying to get to know him. I'm not trying to get to know his precepts. I'm not allowing him to renew my mind. I'm not repenting and turning from things that I know are toxic. Is my heart following what I say I believe? And this isn't in a way to demean you, but I want you to really challenge and question yourself, be for real, so that way God can deal with that. right? He can deal with and handle our shortcomings. He already knows that they exist. We have to be willing to submit those things to him. And then finally, your priorities. Priorities are a ranking of tasks, goals, and aspects of your life according to their importance. And so it's going to help you organize your energy and time. It's going to allow you to effectively focus on what's deemed most important. God may give you 100 million things to do. Not 100 million. But even in that, you have to prioritize. My relationship with God comes before my marriage. And that's on period. Because in order for me to be able to show up in my marriage effectively, I need the Lord. Okay. And if you married, you see my eyes, I'm blinking twice. Like, I need the Lord to show up in this relationship. God and your marriage come before them kids, because you need God. And your marriage needs to be solid in order for you to show up well for your children. I'm not saying neglect your kids. I'm saying that's proper order and proper prioritization, because you've made idols out of your children and you know everything about them and nothing about your husband. And now he over there at such and such house. Okay. Because you worshiping them kids and not worshiping God. So then the minute them kids are actual people and make a mistake, now you're devastated and questioning your whole ability to parent, and you're questioning your whole life instead of realizing that that all people fall short of the glory of God. But you would know that if you were in connection with God and you were in connection with your spouse and you weren't making those kids idols. Do you see how prioritization matters? So anytime you are exercising your cognition, your thoughts, your mind, cognitive effort is going to go toward things that are prioritized. And so then there's going to be efficiency, and it's going to reduce mental clutter. So without prioritized goals, your thoughts are going to be scattered, you're going to be overloaded, and you're going to burn out. And then if you're priorities are not properly aligned, there's going to be ineffective thought patterns such as procrastination and distraction. So if you are dealing with procrastination and distraction, you need to check your MVPs. Okay. So now it's hard for you to attain your goals. And now your confidence is being undermined. Now you don't know if God sent you. And God's like, I sent you, but you're not doing this stuff. Okay. Some of us have 17 million notes in our planner. Okay. Some of us don't watch nay another thing. Don't take not nay another class. Do what he said. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Some of us are not about that action because our priorities are off. And so we have to really align our priorities with God's purpose in order to not only clarify our thoughts, but to direct the behavior. Remember, cognitive behavioral transformation. So in order, like, okay, we've dealt with values and motives. Our priorities are what are going to direct our actions. That behavior piece. And so you want to make sure that the limited cognitive resource that you have, that we are utilizing them for eternal significance. We waste so much of our brain space on stuff that does not matter. Jesus fulfilled his entire purpose and saved humanity in 3 years. He spent the first 30 growing, living life. Okay, first 12, he was living. Then he went to that temple, stayed there for 3 days, was on punishment for 18 years after that. Nobody heard from him. Okay, Mary said, come on here. And the Bible said in Luke 2:52 that he grew in stature. He submitted to them and grew in stature. Okay, and grew in favor with both God and man, because he was on punishment. And you can't tell me otherwise. So you want to ensure that your priorities are right. so you can execute effectively. So let's recap. In order for you to change your mind, you have to deal with three big things. Your cognition, that's your thoughts, which influence your behavior. And the way you transform both of those is through repentance, which means to change your mind, not just to apologize to God, but to change your mind, to turn the direction. How are you doing that? You are educating yourself on the sin that you struggle with. You're educating yourself on where you fell short. If you don't know how to do CPR, guess what you're going to do? Go take a CPR class. So you need to educate yourself and see what God has to say so you can have a different understanding instead of don't do that. Why? Why is God saying that this is dangerous? The Bible says he'll withhold no good thing. So even the things that I think are good, especially the things that I think are good, I need to understand why they're not good for me. I need to repent. I need to turn. Oh, my mind has changed about that. It's cool to stretch. It's not cool to do yoga. Why? Well, because when I studied what yoga was about, it's about these stretches or these positions are worship to false gods. I don't care if you're playing Marvin Sapp in the background while you do it. It's made for what it's made for. And so I'm not doing that. Right? My perspective, I've repented of that. I've changed my mind of that. I'm not doing it again. I can stretch regular. And functional stretching is better for you long-term anyway. We'll talk about that in another video. But cognitive behavioral transformation. And that transformation happens through repentance. You are looking to establish a growth mindset, not seeing challenges, suffering, shortcomings as you failing. Because can you fail with the Lord? No. It's not a loss, it's a lesson. So if you are dealing in a situation and God removes something from you, you have to understand that it's pruning and not always punishment. Okay, because a fixed mindset will have you looking at it as punishment and then you run away from God, you withdraw and you never get that true repentance. You're unrepentant, your mind isn't changed. And the only thing that we're always really ready to change our mind about is the Lord, which is crazy to me. Okay, that's just part of our flesh. We're going to have to work on it. And then understanding that pruning, humility, giving up our own self-governance, all of this is a part of it. And in order for us to truly change our mind, you have to address your motives, your values, and your priorities. Now that you are saved, your motives, values, and priorities, you need to assess them for yourself because some of us have acquired values, motives, and priorities from our family, and we've never sat back and been like, do I even really believe that? We're just going with the flow. We've gotten our MVPs from social media, not really even asking, do I really believe that? And sitting with ourselves now that we're adults, we haven't challenged any of those things. You need to take your MVPs currently, figure out what they are, look at what the Lord has to say about them. And the ones that are not in alignment with his word and his will and his ways, you have to prune those. That is how you're going to change your mind. You have to allow God to prune those. That is how you're going to change your mind. Okay? Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks, so is he. This is this deep. That's why this video is longer than normal. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're not going to see transformation without repentance and renewal, without checking your MVPs and reconciling them with what God has to say. We make a lot of excuses and leeway to try to hold on to things that are in direct opposition to the Lord. I'm not telling you nothing I ain't dealt with before. Okay, God had to pull up on me about my perfectionism. Charlotte, why are you holding yourself to standards that I don't hold you to? Good question. Good question. And then I had to explore that and allow God to reveal to me why that was dangerous, why that's a place that is of pride, that's self-reliance, and I need to humble myself. I need to reject my own self-governance and allow him to be God. Then I won't be so stressed out. So I pray that you do the work, that you check your MVPs, that you are really allowing God to minister to you, that you are really understanding and checking the things. Like, when was the last time you went and got blood work done? Are you taking a multivitamin? Are you going outside and getting vitamin D so your brain actually functions correctly? Then are you developing the work that you need to in your mind? And then are you taking the time and prioritizing your relationship with God so you can be on the right network? This is how you change your mind and change your life. So I pray that this blessed you, friend. I love you. Let me know in the comments if any of this resonated with you, any questions you may have, let me know. I'm so passionate about this because it really is the missing key for everything that we need in life. So I love you, friend. God bless you. And I'll talk to you later.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.